Hi, my name's Chris Pels from idevtech.com. In this video, we're going to take a look at some of the localization features that are available in Microsoft Ajax. Now, to get started, what I'd like to do is a very quick review of some of the localization features available in ASP.NET as a point of comparison. I have a sample website here called Website Localized. By the way, all of the source code you're going to see in this video is available in the accompanying download, so you can take a look at it in more detail at your leisure. Let's fire up default ASPX in this sample website and see what it does. Simple page just has a heading here, several labels, and a button. As you can see, they're all displayed in English, because English is the default language in the browser setting currently. So let's change that. Go up to the Tools menu and into the Language Settings, and we'll make French our preferred language in the browser. Go back, refresh the page, and now you can see that a number of the elements over here on the left are displayed in French. One additional thing I wanted to point out is that the background color on this button is now light yellow, so you can change more than just text. You can change many attributes of different controls. So let's go take a look at the page contents and see how this localization works. Before we do that, I just want to change the preferred language back to English here. And okay, so let's go off and look at the page. We'll open up default ASPX. As you can see, this is a pretty simple page. It just has a label in a header tag, as well as a couple other labels. And just to note, line 16's got a localized control. If you're not familiar with this, this is very similar to the literal control, but it has the ability to be localized, and it substitutes static text on your page. Over here on the right, let's look at how we're substituting some of the values for these controls with our localization feature. Start up here on line 12 with that header, and you can see what we're doing here is an explicit substitution from a key value called header text in the file or resource file called master. So over here on the right, let's take a look at our resource files. We have one global resource called master in the app underscore global resources folder, where all the global resources go for the entire website. And then we have a local resource folder for this root area of the website. It has two resource files, default aspx.fr, which is the French version, and then default aspx, which is the default or English version. Note that these files are named the same as the page, and then that enables ASP.NET to automatically bind them together and apply the appropriate resources without any work on your part. So let's open up that master resource file. Here we have the header text tag name, key name, and the text associated with that, which we substituted back here in the label control. Down here on line 14, we have an implicit resource substitution, and by that I mean here we have a key name or a resource key name applied to this label control called label welcome. And if we go over here to the default resource file, we see label welcome.txt has a value of welcome. So what happens with implicit resources is that you have a tag name, and then you can set any properties corresponding to that control without having to specify an explicit resource for each one of those properties in the control. You can just put them all here in the resource file. We also have here for the localized control and the other label some explicit resource names, question and response, from the local resource file. Here we have question and here we have response. And down at the bottom for the button, we're also using an implicit localization where we have a resource key name of button localization. And back here in the resource file, you can see we have button localization. And here we're setting two different properties for that control, both the back color and the text. So this is the English file, and if we open up the French resource file, you can see that all of the key names are identical, which allows the substitution to occur, but the values over here for each of those are quite different. So that's a quick tour of localization in ASP.NET. Now let's take a look at some of the features in localization in Microsoft Ajax. The first Ajax localization feature that I'd like to look at is the ability to format either a date or a number based upon the browser's current language setting without having to post the page back to the server. I've created a sample web page here called Date Localization to demonstrate how this works with the date, so let's fire that up and see how it works. It's a simple page, has an update panel which contains a button. When you click the button, it displays the date and the time in the current language setting for the browser, which in this case is French. And notice that it did that without posting the page back to the server. So let's go up and change the language from French back to English and then refresh the page as if we just came in and click the button again. Notice that this is displayed without it posting back to the server, and this time it displays the date and time in English. So let's take a look at how this page works. Inside Date Localization we have a Script Manager tag, and it is important to note that the Enable Script Globalization attribute is set to true. Then there's an Update panel which has a button and a label. And when we click the button, we're populating the label with the contents of the current date time. Now that's occurring down here in this JavaScript, where the first thing we're doing is we're attaching a format date method as the event handler for the click event of the button. And so every time format date is called, it creates a new instance of the data object and then formats the date using the locale format method of the data object. And this locale format method is new with the Ajax extensions. What they've done is they've extended the built-in JavaScript data object to have this new method, and it's sensitive to what the language setting is in the browser and returns the datetime format based upon that current language setting in the browser. So in this case, when we changed it from French to English and clicked the button, it fires, this gets the datetime in English and assigns it to the inner HTML of the label control. So that's a quick tour of how date and number localization work with the Microsoft Ajax extensions. Now let's take a look at another Ajax localization feature. The next feature I'd like to look at with Ajax localization is the ability to have a resource file down on the client that's associated with a JavaScript file so that you can then access the resource information from JavaScript code and make substitutions or other changes on the page dynamically down on the client without posting the page back to the server. Now this is very much like the paradigm we have on the server, where we have a resource file associated with an ASPX page and information is pulled from the resource file during the page rendering process and substituted onto the page. However, in this case, the resource file is down on the client and we're using JavaScript to access the resource file and the page elements and make any substitutions or changes. Now I've created a little sample web page here. Let me fire it up and show you it in action, and then we'll come back and look at how it's implemented. It's a simple form for filling out flight information, as you might find on any travel site. And by default, it's coming up here in English, which is the current setting in the browser. So let's go change the setting in the browser from English to French. Refresh the page and you'll see now the information is displayed in French. Now what might not be apparent by looking at this page is that all of the text on this page, all of the labels, is being populated down on the client in JavaScript from resource information that resides in our local resource file on the client. We're not changing the text on this page back during the server rendering process. And if I go back here and change the language from French back to English, I'll show you one more thing here. And we refresh the page. It's back in English. We click this Search for Flights button, and it dynamically uses JavaScript to insert a message, no flights found, down at the bottom of the page. And this message is coming from the resource file down on the client as well. So let's go back and take a look at how this page is implemented. So open up the sample page here, and as you can see, the first thing we have on line 12 is a script manager tag. And it's important to note that the enable script localization attribute is set to true here. We also have a script reference tag inside of this script manager, and it's pointing to a JavaScript file, which we'll look at in just a moment. And it's also indicating that we have French as an additional culture beyond the default culture, which is English. So the rest of the page is mostly HTML. Let's just look at a couple elements quickly so you can refer to them when we go back and look at the JavaScript. First is a label for the title of the page. We've given that the ID of LAB title for label title. We also have another label down here for the from text on when you're entering which airport you're going from. And there's a bunch of other labels down the page that are very similar to that. Let's go take a look at the JavaScript and the resource information and how we create that so it's sent down to the client. Now, this first method that we're looking at in this particular demo is called static substitution, or static scripts as I've called it here. And what we have here is a folder called static scripts, and you don't have to have a folder by this name. I just created this for organizational purposes, and I have a subfolder called 1.0.0.0 just to indicate the version number of these script files. I have two script files in there. One is the default script file, which is staticscript.js, and the second is a staticscript.fr.js, which is the script file for the French version of the resource information. So let's open up the staticscript.js file, and it's got a couple things in here to look at initially. First is that on line 7 we're making a call to the setup form method, which we're adding as an event handler whenever the application starts down on the client. This is an AJAX extension functionality. It's not related specifically to localization, but in case you're not familiar with it, I just wanted to point it out. So whenever this application starts on the client, it calls setup form, and in setup form we're doing substitution of values on the elements in the page from resource information. So for example, on line 13 here, we're getting an element called LAB title. We saw that just a moment ago in the page. That's the label for the title information at the top of the page. By the way, this $get is a shortcut that's part of the AJAX extensions, which is simply an easy way to get reference to an element on the page. So we're assigning some text to the inner text property of the LAB title element, and it's coming from a resource called default, and the property within default that contains the information is called LAB title. Now, you don't have to have the properties spelled exactly the same as the elements. I've just done that for conventions, so it's very easy to see which properties in the resource or which properties and their values in the resource are associated with it, which elements on the page. So where is the resource information that we're retrieving? Well, it's embedded here in the JavaScript file as JSON objects, which is JavaScript object notation, and I put a little note here with the website in the sample code. In case you're not familiar with this, you can go off and read about it. but essentially we're defining an object called default here on line 37, and then we have a number of name value pairs that are contained within the default object. And first we have the name of the property, which is lab title. We saw that just a moment ago up in our JavaScript code. And then we have the value that's associated with this lab title. In this case, World Airlines is the text. So if we go back up here to the JavaScript that's fired when the page starts, you can see that for all of these elements, we're substituting these different values from the default resource object. Also note down here we have a second resource object called search results. It has just one name value pair in it. The value is called no flights found, and if you go back up here to line 29, you can see that in the onClick event from the button that we saw on the page, what it's doing is it's getting the value from the resource and substituting it into a little message on the page. So we've seen how we're getting the English values and substituting them on the page when the page starts up down in the client. Where are the French values? Well, as you might suspect, they're over in this staticscript.fr file. So let's open that up. And the first thing you might notice here is that all of the JavaScript code in the English file is repeated here in the French file. So the operations are the same, starting here on line 14, we're substituting the default.labTitle value into the labTitle element on the page. The only thing that's different here is if we go down to the JSON object definitions, you'll see that the values for each of the object properties are French rather than English. So if we wanted to create script files for other languages, such as, let's say, Italian, we would need to create a new script file here, name it staticscript.it.js, and we'd have to have all of the JavaScript in there be identical to the JavaScript in these first two files, and then down here in the values for the JSON objects, we would put all of the values in Italian rather than French or English. So the advantage to this is that everything's encapsulated nicely in one little JavaScript file. As you might suspect, the disadvantage to this is that each resource or script file has to contain all of the JavaScript, so it becomes harder to maintain as you start to get multiple script files. And even here with two script files, if we start to make changes to the JavaScript, we have to ensure that the changes are made identically in both of the JavaScript files. So that's an example of the first method for having resource files down on the client, where you can access them from JavaScript. And again, we're calling them static scripts, where both the resource information in the form of JSON objects and the JavaScript that accesses those resources are located in a single JavaScript file that's created, one for each language, and sent down to the client. Now let's take a look at another method for getting resource files down to the client to use in JavaScript. The next feature we're going to look at is similar in the end result to the static implementation that we just looked at, in that we're going to create resource files that are associated with JavaScript files and send them down to the client so the JavaScript can access the local resources on the client. However, the implementation is going to be quite different from the static implementation. What we do here is we actually create a class library project called localized control, which is going to be a separate assembly that contains the user control, JavaScript, and resource files. And in this class library project, we create a JavaScript file and resource files separately, much the same way you would see them in ASP.NET. Now, if we take a look at the JavaScript file, it looks very similar to what we saw in the static implementation, in that we are substituting the values inside of various page elements, such as the inner text of the label, with information from the resource file. As you can notice, there's no resource information in here as JSON objects like we had in the static implementation. That information is contained over here in the separate resource files where we have the names of the different properties and the associated values with them. And we create one resource file for each of the languages. In this case, we've also created a French resource file. Same property names, different values for the different pieces of text that are being substituted down on the client by the JavaScript. So then the last thing we need to do is associate the resource file with the JavaScript. To do that, we edit the assembly info.vb file. If you can't see this, you need to show all files up here. In the assembly info, there's two things that we need to add beyond this standard information that's added by the project template. The first one down here on line 38 is that we need to embed the JavaScript file in the assembly, and to do that, we add a web resource call here. And what we have in there are two pieces of information. The first is the fully qualified name of the JavaScript file. And by fully qualified, I mean that it is using the namespace for the project, which is localizedcontrol.travelinfo.js, which is the name of the file over here on the right. If you happen to put your JavaScript file in a subfolder, let's say you call it scripts, then you need to have the fully qualified path here of localizedcontrol.scripts.travelinfo.js. Second parameter is we indicate that it's a JavaScript file. The next thing we need to do is associate the resource file with the JavaScript file. We do that by adding a script resource attribute down here. In that, the first thing we specify again is the fully qualified name of the JavaScript file. Second parameter is we specify the fully qualified name of the resource file, in this case localizedcontrol.travelresources, which is the name of the resource file. Notice that we don't put the name of the resource file extension in here. And then the third piece of information is the name of the class that we want to use to refer to the various properties of the resource file in our JavaScript. In this case, we call it travel. If we look back here in the JavaScript file, notice that here is the use of travel. That's the name of the object with the name of the properties in the resource file. So now we're all done in creating this user control project that has resources separated from the JavaScript. They're both embedded inside of the assembly for the user control. So let's compile this project. We get a couple files in the output here that we need to copy to our website project. I have a sample website project here called Website Assemblies. The first thing we need to copy is the assembly representing the user control. We'll copy that. I've created a bin folder here in the sample website project. If you don't have a bin folder, you need to put this assembly in a bin folder. We'll paste it in there. It's already there, so it's going to overwrite what we have already. The second thing we need to copy is the assembly containing the resource information for the French language. We'll copy that, put that over here in a folder called FR. The folder name here needs to match the two character culture abbreviation for that particular language, in this case FR for French. We paste the assembly in here. Now if we had additional assemblies for other languages like Spanish, Italian, etc., when we compiled the user control, there would be a separate child folder under debug for each of those language assemblies, and we would need to copy them to similarly named folders over here in the bin folder of the website, IT for Italian, and so on. So I have a sample page utilizing that user control we just created here in the sample project. Let's fire up and take a look. As you can see, here's a page that looks very much like the static example. Here's the page in French because our browser is set to use the language of French as the preferred language here. Let's change it back to English. Refresh the page and you'll see here's the information in English. Again, this is all text that's being dynamically changed down on the client from a resource file that's embedded in the user control that's sent down to the client along with the JavaScript. So that's it for our look at how to create a user control which has separate resource and JavaScript files, how to embed them. compile it, add it to a website project, and then use that control in the ASPX page in the website. Before we finish up here, let's just take a very brief look at default ASPX, where we embedded that user control. In case you're not familiar with this, we had a register tag creating a prefix, the namespace, and the assembly that we're using, in this case a localized control. And then down here we have a tag representing the travel info class that we created over in the user control assembly on the page. Notice that we also have enable scripts script localization set to true in the script manager. We've added a tag for the script reference, and in this case, rather than specifying the path as we did in the static implementation, we specify the assembly and the name of the JavaScript file in that assembly. So that's it for embedding JavaScript files and their associated resources in a separate assembly and adding it to a web page. That's it for our look at localization in Microsoft Ajax. Let's do a brief review of what we looked at. First thing we did was look at a project called Website Localized. It's a website project that had two things. First, we did a brief review of resources in ASP.NET pages as a background. Then we looked at the first Ajax functionality, which is extended date and number objects down on the client in JavaScript that are provided by Microsoft Ajax extensions. And what they allow you to do is to format dates and numbers down on the client according to the current culture settings of the browser without having to post back to the server. The second thing we looked at was in the website static project. This is also a website project. And in here, what we were looking at is the ability to send resources combined with JavaScript files down to the client so you could access resource information in JavaScript. This approach was called static because what you do is you put the resource information as JSON object definitions inside each JavaScript file, one JavaScript file per culture that you're implementing, and then you can access the resource information in JavaScript. With this approach, you need to have the same JavaScript functionality in each JS file along with the corresponding JSON object definition for the resource information. So that means that you have to repeat the JavaScript file information identically across each of the cultures that you're implementing. And the third thing that we looked at was we created a localized control here in this class library project. It's a user control that has a JavaScript file embedded as well as it has resources embedded, and we associated the resource files with the JavaScript file in the assembly info file. The thing to note here is that in this particular approach, the JavaScript file is only implemented once, and then there's a separate resource file for each of the different cultures that you're supporting. We compiled this class library project and then copied the assembly from this output over to the website assembly's website project, which is a demo of this functionality in the user control. We copied two things. First is the assembly for the localized control itself, and then the second thing that we copied was, in this case, one assembly for the French resource information. Had we implemented multiple resources for different cultures, such as Italian and Spanish, etc., we would have had to need to have copied an assembly for each of those resource files. So that's it for our look at localization in Microsoft Ajax. I hope you've enjoyed the video, learned a bit about Ajax and localization. Don't forget to download the sample code, play with it, implement it in your own websites, and I hope you find it very useful. This is Chris Pels from idevtech.com. Thank you very much.